what is the story that I'm making up in my head and what is the reality.
Barbara Bold. Welcome to this episode of Confluence, where we explore communication at the boundary of language and culture. Today, I'd like to welcome my first guest, my good friend, Andrea Fleischfrescher. Andrea is a globally experienced executive and leadership coach and the founder of Destination U Coaching and Development. She has over 20 years of experience working abroad in HR and in coaching. A highly trained professional certified coach, Andrea supports leaders and organizations to become more effective leaders in a global context, enhance their leadership skills, executive presence, and cross-cultural awareness. Her services include executive and leadership coaching, group programs, leadership and cross-cultural trainings and workshops. Welcome, Andrea. Thanks so much for agreeing to be my first guest.
Thank you, Barbara. It's a pleasure being here, and I'm so honored. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. You're a person that definitely should be honored. You and I know each other pretty well, but the first thing I'd like you to ask you to do is introduce yourself to the people who are watching this episode and give us a little bit of your background. I find it fascinating, and I'm sure they will too.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. As you know, I'm originally from the south of Brazil. I have this German last name, but as some people would might know, in the south of Brazil, we have so many families originally from Germany. But yeah, this is where I'm from. I'm from the south of Brazil, and I left Brazil 21 years ago, almost 22 years ago. So it's been a long time that I moved abroad. I moved to Italy, Milan, is what we have in common. I lived in Milan for 12 years, where I worked in the HR industry. Now it was a wonderful experience. My kids were born there. And in 2012, I moved to Michigan here, where I with my family because of my husband's job. So it was very the traditional expat life. And at that time, I was reflecting what would be my next step in this third life, as I joke. And I found the coaching because I work with a coach for myself. And it was a wonderful experience. And after a few sessions, I said to her, I think I want to be a coach as well. And she said, since the beginning, since I met you, I thought that this would be a great fit for you, but I couldn't tell you. So I started my coaching journey in 2014. So it's been now over 7 years that I'm in the coaching, starting with working with expatriates, and then my co-work started evolving. So I've been working with, as you said, leaders in organizations, supporting them in all parts of leadership development, career development. And I've been working with clients from over 40 different countries so far. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm so passionate for what I do.
That is so cool. When Andrea and I first met, we realized that we had actually lived in Milan at the same time, but we didn't know each other. So our paths never crossed, but we both have that history. I was in Milan for 11 years and you were there for 12. Can you just talk for a minute about what you found challenging from the standpoint of communication going from Brazil to Italy? I'm curious because the languages are in the same language family. I wonder if there were some challenges for you as you started working in Italy in Italian.
Absolutely. Even when I work with my clients, I think communication is more than a language. Like even in English, we can speak English, but there is different. There is the British English, there is the Australian English. and so many others differences when we even speaking the same languages. So for me, even though Brazil and Portuguese in Brazil and Italian is a Latin language, there are so many words in common or similarities, but the intonation, how we use the words, how we emphasize the words are very different. So the good thing about, I used to say, of the Italian language, and we talked about this before, Barbara, is that the way you learn is the way you speak. Mm-hmm. So in the Italian language, you need to use all the words, all the letters, perché. So you will put the emphasis in all the vowels and syllables. Consonants. Yeah, all the syllables. The Portuguese, we start to, the sounds are more musical. Like we do like, wow, wow, wow. So it's not about the words itself, but it's the how you pronounce the words. Sometimes in Portuguese, you will eat. Now you don't say a few letters different than Italian. So even the way when I used to live in Italy, then when I was visiting Brazil, I would use just the same intonation that I used to speak Italian, pronouncing some words in Portuguese. And people was just looking at me like, what you are talking about? But anyways, we need to adapt not just the language that you speak, but how you will use them and pronounce them.
Yeah, that's so such a good point. When I learned Italian, I was extremely grateful that it was phonetic, which is like you say, what you see is what you say. And that did make the process of learning the language easier. Of course, we both know that when you learn a language, you also have to learn the culture of the place that you are in. There, it's funny because there are still things that will come to me in Italian first in my brain rather than in English because I learned about them there. Sometimes it's even something in the culture. The concept doesn't really exist in your mother tongue. So then you pretty much have to say it in the other language. But I think it's fascinating that you know, you've crossed cultures two times, big cultural changes, and that has to very much inform your coaching for sure. Mm-hmm. When you do the coaching, you said you have coached people from more than 40 countries, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. What are some of the communication challenges that you find that they face?
That's a great question. I believe that in leadership in general, in whatever levels of leader, when someone is going to the manager position or middle manager or even executives level of leadership, there is this, and again, and now I'm talking, even though the person speaks at his first language, we are not talking yet about people who speak a second language, but it's very important in a leadership position to be clear, to communicate with clarity, to say in order for you to influence stakeholders or do a presentation when people can understand you, that you will be clear in what you are going to say. What happens Absolutely. Most of the time is that people know they work, know what they do. They know for themselves, but they have a challenge to describe this, to tell this in his own words. And what most happens that people are so busy, task-oriented, overwhelming, I have so many things on my plate, I don't have time, so many of the challenges that is very normal that happening nowadays. When they go to the communication, they want to just say it, whatever they need to say. And you know better than anyone else that a good communication, we need to pause, reflect, think, and then communicate. That a good communication, we also need to pause. That is okay to pause. And especially the American culture, like talking a little bit more in the cultural aspect, the pause is uncomfortable. The silence is uncomfortable. So, for example, I have this client, American, working in an American company, and he used to laugh in the middle of the going to one sentence to the other. Like,
he would laugh.
Just laughing. Like he wants to be, and he told me, I didn't want to be uncomfortable with silence. So that's why I was adding this laughing. But then what happened, even though he was in a high-level position, he was having some challenges, even in his career development.
Yeah.
So going like to this slow-down process, that is okay to process your communication, have the clarity, and then bring your communication, being assertive and clear, that will help also in your confidence and even that the impact that you want to bring to others.
I'll bet if with that little laugh that he did, people didn't think he was serious.
Right.
Yeah. They would wonder, I wonder why he's laughing when he's talking about a serious topic.
Yeah. And it was amazing to see like this session, this week's session. He was said, Andrea, I'm feeling much better. I'm not doing like he was like conscious changing his communication and even the way he was feeling with himself, his confidence was improving.
Was higher. Yeah. I find that with my clients as well. It's that feeling it in your body that you have to do in order to make the change. I'm sure for him, he had to learn to anticipate that laugh and physically stop himself. Because really, when I work with my clients as well, whatever the behavior is they need to change, it's interesting because his, what we call filler, was a laugh. Sometimes it's sometimes it's a little word, so, or other little words. But you, as a person, you have to learn to sense in when that's going to happen. And sometimes in the beginning, it's like hindsight. Oh, I just laughed. But at least then you're catching it. And it gradually, the body and the brain connect so that you can actually cut it out and get rid of it. That's a great story.
Yeah. Another important part of the communication is leadership. Is in any levels, men and women, it could be this, the way they see themselves. So let's say that someone got promoted or is going to a higher level positions or even need to present some other people for clients or for executives. And these, some people would call the imposter syndromes or whatever. It has like this internal feeling of insecurities like, oh, who am I now to present? What I'm doing? What I need to say? And even though the person is an expert, is good in what he or she does, all these self-doubts, these negative feelings will get in a way to bring an effective communication. So working on that also helps to improve the communication.
How do you work with people on that? What's something you do with them to help them get past that?
Yeah, I just had a client this afternoon talking about this, actually. The first step is identifying the voice. Identifying what is this voice is telling me, not this little voice in your head. And when people say, for example, I'm afraid that people are judging me, they will judge my hair, they will judge my voice, my accent, my whatever it is that the reality is not about the other people. It's we that we are judging ourselves. So we need to identify this voice, first of all. So when this voice starts to, we are noticing the voice, I'm not enough, or what they are saying, or I need to know more, or whatever it is that the little voice, as I call voice, this little voice, it's knowing that this is not Andrea's voice, this is not Barbara's voice, but this is, as we call in coaching, the saboteur voice. And then we shift to understand what is the reality, what is the truth here. So the reality is that, let's say if this is the situation with me, the reality is that I work with, I've been working with many clients, and I can share with Barbara about my experience in leadership, that it's okay, that I know. If I was here listening this voice, I was, who am I to talk with Barbara about communication because she is the expert, right?
Right.
But we need to look to the reality that this is me. So the first step is the awareness and understanding, like putting these two voices separate. What is the story that I'm making up in my head? And what is the reality? And of course, most of the time, these patterns that people carry in their life, because when I was a child, because my teacher at school, my first job, whatever is the story. So it takes time. Change takes time. So it's not a process that will just happen. Do this and that and change will happen. We need to put in practice and change step by step. But the first step is the awareness.
So when you separate the two voices, I suppose the goal is to silence one of them, the one that's telling you the negative stuff, and then concentrate on the voice that's telling the truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
The more you push forward, as I say, more you push forward the voice that what you know, what is true, so emphasis in the strength, emphasis in what's your skills, what your strengths, what you are good at, more you will be silencing the imposter syndrome voice.
Right, the saboteur voice.
It's going in this way.
It's interesting to me, a lot of your clients, I'm sure, are not mother tongue English, but they have to work in it. It's the language that they have to present in and give presentations in and that kind of thing. Do you feel or do you find with your clients that then they have this double challenge in a way, just the usual leadership issues, becoming a better leader, plus the having to work at being eloquent or clear in English as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a great point, Barbara. As we said before, communication is an important skill for any leader and for people who has English as a second language or is working with speaking another language. It would add something else in the communication. For someone who speaks the same language, okay, I need to know how to communicate better. But for someone who speaks the second language, how can I communicate better speaking a second language? So for someone that speaks a second or even third language, the first, one of the first, let's say, thoughts or even talking about imposter syndrome or whatever, how we are going to name this, is the fear, let's say, that I don't have all vocabulary, that I'm not prepared enough, that I will forget what I need to say, And what people think about my way of speak, the accent, how am I showing up? Will the people, my audience, being able to understand me? So these thoughts, fears that most of the time hold people back. I work with many clients and I hear people that come here in the United States as an expat, even being in the leadership position, and even telling me, I used to be a very social, outgoing person, and since that I'm working here, I became more shy, more reserved, because of this, I'm afraid to speak up, holding people back, not just in the communication, but even in their career.
Yeah.
Because in American culture, it's important to be proactive. It's important to speak up. So if I'm not speaking up, people don't know what I'm doing. No, I'm not active.
It's the tooting your own horn in American culture. If you don't do it, no one's going to do it for you, right?
Exactly. This is an individualist culture. So we need to do for ourselves. The first thing that, and I know that's easy to say, I was there before. I know that it's not easy, but you also taught me how to move forward with this, is believing that what we bring is important. Is believing that our international experience, my accent, my story, is part of who I am. That if I'm communicating, I'm bringing myself to this communication. I will never talk like Barbara, like a fully American person, as I will never talk as an Italian person or even a Brazilian person because I've been abroad for so long. This is my way to communicate. So it's really about embrace our identity and don't be ashamed of who we are. If people won't understand us, don't worry. They will ask. And you can ask as well. Could you please slow down? Could you please speak slowly? Could you please, whatever is important for you. But this, who you are is more than what you do and more that you bring it in your communication. So it's really about knowing, embracing our story, who we are as a person, that enhance this confidence that we can show up as the fully and whole self without being ashamed or afraid of other people's opinions or thoughts, because this will hold us back. And we see this in so many ways.
That's a really interesting perspective. And I do think also in companies, multinational companies, companies in which people from many different places work, there needs to be a tolerance or also the other people in the room need to be willing to listen to a person whose English isn't perfect or who's bringing their full self to the table, because that's diversity, isn't it? That is the diversity and being inclusive conversation, which we're not going to dive into too deeply today. When I work with my clients, I try to help them be clear in English from the standpoint of proper grammar, structuring their messages. However, I'm always cognizant that they are who they are. And there's going to be something about their way of communication that they will, like you say, they're never going to talk like me. They're never going to be perfect. However, we can find that balance between helping them improve their ability to be clear, but maintaining their identity and still, being that person that they are. So yeah, I think that's a really valid point. I appreciate you bringing that up. The final question that I had in mind to talk a little bit about today is this coaching. What are some of the ways that you feel people can benefit by working on their communication skills with a coach?
tremendously that communication is everything in nowadays, like not just nowadays, but especially working like most people in this last few years. Now we work virtually, or we communicate with people around the world. Of course, the technology is great, so we can communicate with so many people. We do this every day in our daily basis. This is part of most of people's jobs. I think all jobs is the communication is part of it. And more someone improve in their communications ability, the ripple effect analogy, now the communication will help you in your career development, the impact that you are bringing, the networking, how you are connecting with other people, it will bring you also for the success of your business or your success of your team or how you are engaging with people in the organization or stakeholders, etc. So working with a communication specialist that you, someone absolutely can be more successful in their career, more successful in their business, support better team, the stakeholders, because, and feel more confident because I'm feeling that I'm able to communicate, to do the work that I want to do. That is nothing is holding me back. So this is such important skill, and that's so needed.
Like you say, it's not only so the improving the communication leads to that increase in confidence. Mm-hmm. And it can also lead to an increase in trust in a team, for example, because people feel that information is more accessible, that there's more sharing going on. So I agree with you. I totally love what you said about the layers. And I think you probably find in your work that communication might be just the tip of the iceberg in some cases. It's that, you know, trickle down effect, and you start, the person thinks their issue really is about how they're communicating, but in fact, there's more underneath, and you can work on such a range of issues to help that person become a stronger leader and a stronger manager. That's so cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for this conversation today. I know, Andrea, you and I could talk for hours. Sometimes we do. Yes, but thank you so much for joining me and bringing up these wonderful points. Is there anything you'd like to just say as a parting word?
I'm thankful. Like, this is so amazing initiative. I'm so proud of what you are doing, and can't wait to listen the next episodes as well with the other guests. So congratulations for your work. It's so exciting. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming. And you're the first in a line of people who I'm going to be interviewing who have this intercultural experience and have overcome the challenges that you have overcome both in Italy and in the States, and that I had to overcome in Italy. I just think it's a fascinating topic. So thanks again for agreeing to be here. And to the guests who are watching, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Confluence. Please consider liking it, subscribing to my channel. And if you'd like some help improving your communication, head to boldglobal.com and book a free 30-minute consultation with me. Thank you so much, and we will see you in the next episode.